Well, Isaiah, that's where we're going to be tonight. Would you guys grab your Bibles? Isaiah chapter 45. Bible's in front of you, page number on the screen, you need it. Electronic devices work, but just we invite you to be with us. We invite you to see what we're covering tonight. You read it. We really do believe that as you do that, the Word of God will work. I mean, God's Word is what's powerful. We want to highlight that and again say that's what we want to hold out to you, believing in the effectiveness of His Word. And so hoping you'd follow along with us if you're here in the sanctuary, in the overflow, online, catching this later, grab a Bible. And may God speak to us through His Word. Let's ask Him for that. Just humbling ourselves before Him right now, positioning ourselves in a space where we come with expectation and dependence and asking that He would give us the ability to hear His voice tonight. Father, You are that good shepherd who brings us into those green pastures. I ask that tonight would be a green pasture, that we would come in to partake of Your Word, and that, Lord, You would nourish our soul, that You would bring us into exactly what we need to hear from You, and we'd hear it. We'd hear it in just the words on the page and the things that are said, but Your Spirit in this moment, God, You can do that. You're the only one that can do that, but You do that. And with great joy, I ask You to do it. Speak to us. Help us to hear You, each of us now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May God make that so. So God is working. I mean, He is working everywhere all the time, and He is doing things that you have no idea. That we have no idea what He's doing and even all that He has plans. And yet, the Bible encourages us to see that. We find ourselves here in Isaiah 45, and it begins with God telling Israel what He's going to do through a future ruler named Cyrus. Now, that's how it ended. If you were with us last time in chapter 44, He says there in verse 28 of that chapter, who says of Cyrus, "He is my shepherd. He shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, you shall be built, and to the temple your foundation shall be laid." Then in verse 1 of our chapter, it says, "Thus says the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus." Pause there and just kind of begin in a way that would wrap your brain around this, because one of the crazy things is that God here names Cyrus 100 years before Cyrus is born. Cyrus is not even, he's not born. This is 100 years before he's born, about 150 years before Cyrus will be instrumental in bringing Israel into the things that they have. Maybe that's clear enough, but I'll put a little timeline that we've used a little bit so far in Isaiah just to remind you where we are. For you Bible students, hopefully even more, it'll connect into this. So Isaiah's ministry kind of spans some difficult days. Israel had been split up into two kingdoms. The northern kingdom has gone into the Assyrian captivity right in the middle of Isaiah's ministry. They've been carried away. They've been defeated. They're gone in many ways. And yet Isaiah is now ministering to the southern part of Israel, Judah, and they're on the decline. They're in Isaiah's day, Hezekiah's there, but then Hezekiah's going to pass. Manasseh will come. He's going to be a terrible king. There'll be one more good king in Israel's history, Josiah, and then it's just going to go down. Judah's going to continue to decline until God brings judgment. Isaiah's ministry, and part of it, has been telling them that's coming, warning them that if they wouldn't turn, that God was going to bring discipline on the nation of Israel, which He does. They end up getting conquered by the Babylonians, and in three successive kind of taking away from the land, they get uprooted and literally moved out of their nation, moved over to, out of Israel, over to Babylon, modern-day Iraq, and they are there for 70 years. And so that's not even happened yet, though. I mean, Isaiah's not even going to see it. That's going to be 100 years. I mean, he's talking about a judgment that's 100 years away. He's not going to see, they're not going to see, but he tells them it's coming. But he doesn't just let them know that judgment's coming. He looks past that. So they go past the judgment of the Babylonian captivity to around 538 BC when Cyrus is there and he begins to make a proclamation. And God's judgment on the nation of Israel comes to an end. And Cyrus makes a proclamation saying, go back. You can go back now. And Israel now begins to leave and make their way back over to the nation of Israel and will be planted there, that they'll be there all the way up to the time of Jesus in that space and wild things. And yet, how to imagine this? I mean, how to imagine in one sense what God is doing? He's talking about something 150 years ahead of time. Things that they couldn't even imagine. I mean, it wouldn't even be the same, but if we were trying to imagine it, we'd think through, gosh, for us, that would be, what, you know, back in the 1800s, right? You know, that someone would sit there and say, I know what's going to happen in 2026, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. There's something, and this is what I'm going to do. And yet that, even in that, follows this these things that they have not even yet seen. And Cyrus is a key part of that. In fact, we have his proclamation recorded for us in the book of Ezra. I'll just put it on the screen there. So in Ezra chapter 1, Cyrus is there. And it says, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, which is Iran, by the way, Persia, Iran. So he's the king of Iran in many ways, well, you know, over all these areas in the space, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, that the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord, the God of heavens, has given to me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who among you, of all of his people, who is among you of all of his people, may his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is God. Which is at Jerusalem. Wow. So crazy thing. I mean, again, you're just watching this for a moment and trying to wrap your mind around what God is doing, that he's telling them, again, of everything that's coming and God's plan that's going to work this out in places that they could hardly yet even imagine. As he looks at that, he's letting us know that Cyrus's ascent to power is God's good plan. I mean, he's the one that's doing it. He's the one that's the source of Cyrus's success. It tells us there in verse 1, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the armor of kings, to open to him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places. Pause there. I mean, we look at this, and so God looks and says, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you success. I'm going to give you all nations. I'm going to give you this. He says, I'm going to subdue nations before you. I'm going to loose the armor of kings. And that's what happens. Cyrus comes on in power in the Persian Empire. It rises after the Babylonian upper, and then he conquers. He conquers the known world. He just begins taking nation after nation after nation after nation, defeating just a litany of the nations all around there. And in many ways, Babylon is the final one to fall, and yet they do fall. It's interesting. It tells us there, he says in verse 1, he says, I'm going to open before him the double doors, and the gates will not be shut. That actually happened. So it's one of these crazy things that Cyrus is getting there. He looks on Babylon, and Babylon is one of the most impenetrable nations in the world. I mean, massive walls, just incredibly strong. And so Cyrus, he comes around that, and he kind of besieges it and is kind of waiting for that day. And in the midst of it, you know, if you read through the book of Daniel, you have there Belteshazzar, who's kind of the second ruler, the main king has already fled, to be quite honest, but he's there, and he's throwing a party. He's throwing a party, kind of mocking God, and yet Cyrus, he ends up damming up the water that would lead into Babylon, and the story tells us through historians that not only does that work, but when they go through the channel there, the gates aren't locked. The gates inside the city that would have led to the water, the bronze gates, are not shut, and many see that as an actual, like, hey, this happened, so that Babylon falls almost without a battle. They fall overnight, and Cyrus takes control of all of those things, and yet he tells us, hey, this is what I'm doing. I'm going to give you all of this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make these places straight. He says, I'm going to give you incredible treasures, which he does. He conquers kingdom after kingdom. His wealth is beyond even imagining in many places. And yet he says, I'm going to do all this so that you could know. It says that you, in verse 3, that you may know that I, the Lord who call you by name, am the God of Israel. He lets them know that I'm doing this. And one of the things he's doing is he says, I want you to know. I want you to know. Now, he's telling this to Cyrus, but he's telling it to us. So one of the proofs of God, who he is he can tell us the future before it happens. It's one of the things he's done here in the book of Isaiah. It's one of the things he highlights over and over through his word. It's why a good section of the Bible you have in your hand is prophetic scripture. About a third of it is prophetic.